turn your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 1 and verse 17. James chapter 1 and verse 17, and you can put the first slide up. I hadn't done a PowerPoint in a while, so I was working on this and trying to get this together for us so we have that. But we started talking about recognizing the goodness of God. Oh, yes. Brother Tony and the ushers will pass out a short outline for you. They'll pass it out to you. Hallelujah. Thank you. So James chapter 1 and verse 17, you can go to the next slide there in the description. James chapter 1 verse 17, and I'm going to read from the New King Version. It says, New King James Version, I'm sorry. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. Those things that we receive in life that are good, it has a source. It comes from above. And that's from the Lord. Amen. So, and go to the New Living Translation. Do that one, and then I'll get to the points that we have. In your outline, you have four basic points that we're going to cover. Now, the New Living Translation says, whatever is good and perfect comes down from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. That's the moon, sun, the stars. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. You know, our shadows move and you really can't ever catch them, so to speak. God is stable. So, the first thing we want to keep in mind, number one, is this, that God gives good things to us. That's what he does. God gives good things to us. Now, God is not a mean God. He's not a God who takes pleasure in doing things that will harm us or hurt us. He's a good God, and he gives good things. Now, there's sometimes some things that are not good that may happen to us, but it's not because God is the author of those things. God is the author of good. Amen. Say that God is the author of good. Say it one more time. God is the author of good. So now, there are times he may allow certain things to happen, certain negative things, certain things that are bad, certain things that may be painful and difficult for us to deal with. But when he allows it, there's always an eternal purpose, an eternal good purpose for it. Now, for us, for you, for me, when we're going through some things, and we go through things in life, we experience things that are not good, we experience things that are painful. There's a scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 28-29 says that all things work together for good for those that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. Now, it didn't say everything that happens is going to be good. It says they work together for good. They work together for good. And if we forget that, then we end up thinking, well, you know, the Lord's done this. God's put this in my life. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We left off with this last week. I just introduced this last week, and I want us to go a little bit further today and probably next week so we can kind of, you know, bring some clarity to something. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, then you'll find this scripture. And we're going to look at it from the New King James Translation. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with the temptation, will also make a way, the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, I said last week, and I want to repeat that, that this is one of the most misinterpreted scriptures in the Bible. Because people will use this scripture to say, well, you know, the Lord said he wouldn't put no more on you than you can bear. Yeah. This scripture says nothing about God putting anything on anybody. Now, when God puts some on you, that's judgment time. And there is a difference. God does judge people. And so he judged Pharaoh and his army, right? He judged the Assyrians. He's judged people throughout history. So when God puts it on you, he's judging you. But Paul is speaking to the church, to the Corinthian church. He's speaking to believers, and he says that God will not allow. Allowing and causing and doing are two different things. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, or I like to say it like this, beyond your ability to endure. Now, you may say, now, wait a minute, Brother Pastor, wait a minute. I've been through some tough things, and I just didn't think I could make it. Question, did you make it? You made it. Tough, painful, but you made it. Our darkest hours, in our darkest hours, there's still light, the light of God. You know, he's still there. You know, he will cause windows to be in our dark skies, and God will give us a ray of hope even in the midst of our darkness. Amen. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 4, I think it's verse 24. I may have the verse wrong, but he says that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. What am I saying? I am saying this. That you and I want to learn to find out what does the scripture say, what does the Bible say, and get an understanding of what God is saying. Because that's what's going to get me through things. And God is not obligated. He's not obligated to do what I think he ought to do or what I think he said. God is only obligated to fulfill his word. Now, I know some of y'all are looking at me strange. You know, where you're thinking, well, wait a minute, that's not how I understood. That's not what my grandma told me. God bless grandma. Amen. Love grandma. Look at what the scripture says. Amen. And he says there's some things that happen to us, they're common. It's just a part of life. You know, as much as we don't like it and we don't want it to happen, death comes to everybody. We're not going to escape it. You might think you're outrunning it for a while, but it's going to catch up after a while. You know, and death for a man or woman of God is not a bad thing. It's painful for those of us that may be left behind. But when somebody knows the Lord, death is not a bad thing. Because the Bible tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That doesn't mean that we don't sorry. That doesn't mean we don't hurt when someone goes leave this world. Yes, because we're going to miss them. But you never feel sorry for someone who's passed away and they knew the Lord. Now, when someone doesn't know the Lord, that's cause for great concern. But nothing you can do about it even then. And that is one of the most painful things. It's one of the most disturbing things to deal with. If you're wondering where somebody is, you lose a loved one, and then, you know, according to maybe what the way you saw their life, it's like, oh my God, what happened to them? Did they make it? And God has ways of comforting us, and I've been through that with loved ones, and it was painful, but God's also comforted me. When my brother Greg died, going to be 38 years, 2nd of May. And I remember I prayed for him so much to serve the Lord and to know the Lord and to live for God. And I had great confidence in my spirit that that was going to happen. But then he died suddenly. And then so now I was in this state like so many people. It's not only grieving his death, but I'm saying, Lord, I don't understand. I prayed for him and prayed for him. And I'm sure you gave me the assurance that he was gonna be in right standing with you. And I said, I don't know. And I wrestled with that until I went away on a personal retreat just so I could get away, get by myself, pray and study and just kind of hear from the Lord. Sometimes, you know, you got to get away from everybody else. Sometimes, you know, you got to turn the TV off, you got to cut the phone off, you just got to get someplace where it's just you and God, and where you can kind of just do that that's relaxing to you so you can meditate and you can pray. And I did this, so I went to a place in Texas that was called the Shepherd's Pasture, a place where ministers, pastors could go and just kind of relax and be kind of rejuvenated some. And I went there, and when I was there, there was a couple that they were the caretakers. And so the husband checked me in to my room. And he said, I'll be back to check on you later. And so he checked me in the room. I got my stuff, took it out of the suitcase, and put it up in the closet there. And then he knocked on the door. He came in, talked to me for a minute. He said, Brother Lee, can I pray with you? Can I pray for you? I said, yeah, sure. And so he began to pray for me. He began to pray, you know, obviously that God would give me answers that I was seeking and all those kind of things. But within his prayer, he said, Father, help him to know that his brother is okay. Help him to know that his brother is with you. This man knew absolutely nothing about me, had never seen me before. And I'm thinking, God, how could that be? And then when I talked to my sister-in-law, I got my answers. That he had done something to make his life right. I just didn't know it. But what I'm saying to all of us is that when that happened, then it gave me a peace and a relief. Now, I missed him. I miss him every day now. But I know I'll see him again. Amen. That's the blessing. I'll see him again. You know, you want to be careful. I'm not advocating that people just do it and everything and they're going to make it to heaven. I'm not suggesting that. But you and I want to be careful where we put people. Because sometimes there's stuff you don't know. You don't never know what somebody does in the quietness of their bed at night when they pray. You don't know what prayer they pray. You don't know. And I didn't know. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we don't grieve for anybody that's gone on. We don't do that. Now, why am I saying all this? Let's go back where he says there's no temptation that's overtaken you except that which is common to man. There's some things that are common to life. There's some things you're not going to escape because you're part of the human family. You're going to have to deal with it. And it's a part of life. Now, we just sang the song that you're my help, you're my strength, and you're my hope. So there's hope, there's help for us in not only just in the word of the Lord, but in our relationship with God. That's why, you know, you don't want to go to church just so you can just feel good. Thank God if you feel his presence. Thank God if you feel like shouting. Thank God for it. But that's not why you're here. You're here to learn. We're here to be able to be able to develop and strengthen our relationship with God so we can grow in him. and we can see his face in peace. And so some things are common. Tornado come through St. Louis, it's going to hit St. Louis. You know, maybe your house may keep standing, maybe it won't, but the whole city going to be damaged. When it rains, it's going to rain on the whole city. When a storm comes through here, you know, then we all got to take shelter. It's a part of this dispensation that we live in. It's a part of life for now. Not going to be that way always. And trouble don't last always. Amen. It doesn't. Changes do come. So he says he will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. I'm going to say it like this, to endure, beyond your able. But get this other part. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Whatever we deal with, it may not seem like it. It may be tough, but with that temptation, somehow or another, God has provided a way of escape. Before you and I do the thing that we shouldn't do, there's usually warnings, there's that still small voice, there's opportunities that we have to not do it. Amen? Amen. About 30 of y'all said amen. Yes, there is an opportunity to not do. There is an opportunity to be successful and not yield to the temptation. There's an opportunity. You know, when you look in the Bible and we look at Joseph when he was sold by his brother Potiphar, not by his brother Potiphar, but by his brothers into Egypt. And then, of course, a man by the name of Potiphar bought him. And Potiphar had such great confidence in Joseph until he placed him over his whole household. So he was a wealthy man. And so he was the one that was in charge of everything in this man's house. Now, with blessings also can come challenges. Because Mrs. Potiphar had other ideas. You know, so yeah, that's why we always have to have a watchful eye. The devil gets us while we're sleeping. I'm not talking about our natural sleep. I'm talking about while we're not paying attention. And so God blessed this man, even though he was sold by his brothers into slavery. And now he's getting ready to rise up and getting ready to be prosperous. And then, so he's in a good position. His boss likes him. His boss trusts him. But there is a challenge there. And that was Potiphar's wife. She set her sights on this young man, and she wanted to be in a relationship with him. Now, Joseph was a man of integrity. He said, no, he said, I can't do this. And the Bible says, when you look at, I think it's the 39th chapter of Genesis, the Bible tells us that she pressed him every day. We don't know for how long, whether it was weeks or whether it could have been months, we don't know. But this woman is after him every day. Every day. So on the one hand, he's blessed. On the other hand, he has a challenge. And so here he is, you know, but he's a man of honor, a man of integrity. He says, no, I'm not going to do this. Well, and so it gets so bad until one day she don't just say something. She begins to reach out after him. And so in his haste to get away from her, she grabs a hold of his garment and it ends up ripping from him and she's got it in her hands. And then she lies on him when Mr. Potiphar came home. She lied on him. and now he has to deal with it. God brings him through. We'll talk a little bit more about that in another time, but God brought him through that. But what I want us to look at, first of all, because if we fast forward, God prospered Joseph, and he was a successful man to the day he died. Leading up to that, he had some challenges. But what did he do? Now, this is what I'm getting to. There was a way of escape. He says, I'm not going to yield to this woman. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to get out of here. And so what? He ran. Come on, say he ran.
He ran.
So, say it one more time. He ran.
That
sounds good. Say it a little bit louder. He ran. There was a way of escape, and Joseph took it. And so and that happens in every situation. Just look back over your life. Look at that time that you just gave in and you did something you shouldn't have done. There was a way of escape. You just didn't take it. Now, we don't know. The Bible does not tell us what Joseph's feelings were. He was a young man. He had sexual desires and sexual feelings. The Bible didn't say that. He didn't come out and say it, but he was a normal man. And we don't know what this woman looked like. She may have been beautiful or she may not have been. We don't know. If she wasn't beautiful, maybe that was his way out. Made it a little bit easier. Some things the Bible don't tell us. You know, that doesn't tell us that, you know. It's just kind of left up to your imagination. But the gist of the story is that he had an opportunity to do wrong, and he took another way out so that he didn't do wrong. And that's the way you and I have to look at it. There's always a way of escape. Amen. Amen. So, and when God, when he allows us sometimes to be in situations, he's either going to, I've learned this, he's either going to give you a way out of it by changing the situation or circumstance, or he's going to strengthen you where you are. And you don't get to choose. So you can get ready to go through something, and God may either change it so you can avoid it and not have to deal with it, or God may just give you strength. Strength like no other. That will reach you. And you'll be able to say no when you want to say yes. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And it's whatever it is. And it's not just things that deal with morality. It's things that deal with our behavior and our interaction with people. That there's times, you know, you have to pray so you can hold your peace sometimes. Because it's easy to open your mouth and say something. And that doesn't mean that the person is not deserving of what you want to say. But that's going to be a defeat for you. Because now what's happening is you are allowing your emotions, you're allowing your situation to get control over you. And so now you're going to speak and you're going to say something, you're going to do something that really is not godly. It's not what God wants you to do. It takes strength to resist the pull of your friends. Amen. Some of us have been saved so long until... You know, we forget that, you know, peer pressure is a real thing. And it's not just peer pressure for young people. It's peer pressure for people of whatever age. You know, if you have buddies, you got folk you hang out with, and sometimes it's family. And then you trying to do right. Some folk just ain't going to let you do right. It's because, you know, they got other plans. They've been used to you hanging out with them, and they want you to continue to do that. So you're like a missing link in their group. But it takes the grace of God and the strength of God to be able to say no, to resist when part of you really, really wants to. Listen, temptation of whatever sort it is not temptation if you don't want to do it. Can I repeat that? Temptation is not temptation if you don't want to do it. You're tempted by things that you want to do. And everybody's not tempted, excuse me, by the same things. You know, if you look at, you know, there's certain foods I like, and don't bring it around me. Because that's a temptation. You bring some pig feet, like they ain't bother me one bit. They can sit there all day, all night, till they rot. I ain't gonna touch them. Because I don't like pig feet. Some of y'all do. They got me with them when I was young. Yeah, I do like them. I do like chitlins, though, you know. I just don't like the pig feet, pig ears, and pig tails. Some of you all do it, so I'm not knocking it. I'm not knocking that at all. I'm just saying I can't be tempted by that. I don't want it. But somebody come in here with a coconut cake or a German chocolate cake. And I'm trying to fast. Oh, it's like, oh Lord, have mercy. And in your mind, I'm gonna think, well, you know what, Lord, maybe I can start tomorrow. I just start tomorrow. Let me eat this cake today, and I'll pick up tomorrow where I left off. You ever been there? Oh, I've been there. I didn't necessarily do it, but Lord, I was tempted. I wanted to do it. But I said, no, okay, I was proud of myself sometimes that I just stuck to it when I wanted the other. That's what temptation is. Scriptures, there's an old hymn. I haven't heard it in a long, long time. I remember hearing it as a little boy when I was attending Westside Missionary Baptist Church. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Notice it says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Not the temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted. For yielding is sin. And then it says, each victory will help you some other to win. Walk manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Jesus is willing to help you. He will see you through. Amen. You know, using some of those old hymns, and I know a lot of young folk don't like the hymns because they don't understand them. But they tell a story. And most of them are just really scriptural. You think about it. Think about those words. Because it really tells the truth. There's no sin to be tempted. It's a sin to yield to the temptation. Jesus was tempted, but he didn't yield. When Satan came to him and offered him options to, you know, if you just bow down and worship me, you know, all the kingdoms of the world I'll give you. And the temptation was, the trick was to get him to get what God had already ordained for him as the Son of God, as God in the flesh, to get him to get it through some other means. Compromise yourself. Come, just come on, bow down. And Jesus said, no. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before thee. That's why we got to know the word of the Lord. And so what happens, the devil will come after you to get you to be a person that's not a person of integrity. He will want to attack your character, attack your integrity. And so he'll want you to compromise. He'll want you to do something. He'll want you to cut corners. He'll want you to do something. And then you have people, even have companies, businesses, that they're successful in one sense, but they're cheating people. And which means that they're giving a kind of like an unjust weight, an unjust balance, and God doesn't like that. You cheat people. You know, I remember my mother saying some years ago, with the product, you're supposed to have so much in the bag, and so you can have bags that are overweight and some bags that are underweight. You can have, where you have too much product and some where there is a smaller amount of product. And I remember somebody saying, Ms. Anderson, well, it's just a little bit. And she said, no. She said, I don't want not one bag that's underweight. Not one. And so what happens is people end up, when they get one of our products, they get them. They will probably almost never find one that's less than what it should be. It could be a machine failure. I won't say them never, ever. But as far as the way the company operates, no. The intent is to have a little more so you're not under. And so the scale that's used, so when the bags are underweight, then the workers know to pull those off the line. And they do one or two things with them. They either, send them back through the machine after they empty it, or they'll put them out so some of the employees can take them. The enemy will try to get you to compromise your integrity.
Amen.
And that can be a temptation. Because you may want something so bad until you think, well, it's not really that bad, and really nobody's going to really know. The difference is you'll know, and you're going to just kill a little bit of yourself. Nobody else may not ever know, but you'll know. And then God knows. I remember when I was going to college, and I was a cashier at Kroger grocery store. Kroger's not in St. Louis anymore, but they, but like Snooks and Dierbergs. And so I was a cashier, and it's amazing sometimes people think that, you're going to just let them slide with certain things. And so as a cashier, then we had to ring up certain things. And so I remember this lady in the line one time. She wanted to push something through. I said, no, you can't do that. And she said, why? I said, no, you can't. Well, she said, nobody's going to know. That's what she said. Now, I'm African-American. She's African-American. And so she thinks, okay, I'm going to give her a break. And she says, well, nobody's going to know. And God gave me the presence of mind to say, well, I'll know. I'll know. Yeah, my boss, the store manager, may not have seen it, but the thing is, I'll know. See, you got to have integrity within yourself. It doesn't matter what other folk know, what other people see. You got to know. And if you know and it's okay, you got to. But so she that was no temptation for me because, I've had a certain standard, and so I wasn't going to compromise that. There was no temptation. But there are other things that we all can be tempted by, depending on what it is. I never smoked, so you ain't going to tempt me with no cigarette. You can line this platform with wine, whiskey, and beer. I ain't going to be tempted one bit. Because I don't drink. I don't like it. I don't want it. Now somebody else, they be slipping back in the building. Because, you know, to them, it's a temptation. To them, that's what they like. To them, that's what they want. I'm not trying to set myself up above anybody else. I'm saying that different ones of us are tempted by different things. And you have to know yourself. And you have to know how not to put yourself in certain situations. No matter what someone else says, oh, it's all right, it's okay. Look, it may be something that's not necessarily sin, but it may be something you don't need to put yourself in because you know you can't handle it. You know where you came from. Amen. Give God a praise offering. I'm going to quit right there. God is a